we're going to read the word of the Lord this morning. This comes from James 5, 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand.
Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Corey and Lindsay. What a blessing you guys are. How are we doing this morning? Good. It's good to see everyone. It's good to open up the Word of Life. I'm going to pray because here's what's interesting. We've come here for the Lord. Amen. And I can preach a great message. And if Jesus doesn't breathe on it and our hearts aren't open to it, it doesn't do much. I can preach a poor message, but if Jesus speaks to you in that moment, that's all we remember, amen? And that's what changes us, his voice. So if you're willing, let's pray this morning and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, we need you this morning to help us. We thank you for your word, that it's powerful and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judging the thoughts and motivations of the heart. Lord, we ask that you would help us, aid us to be open to your spirit. Help me to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're doing a series called Increasing the Good Life. Before I jump into that, how many of y'all went to the men's event yesterday? Let's just give a hand. That was an amazing time. I don't know about y'all, but I needed that. It gave me a lot of homework. I'm inspired to go home and work further on what we did. I just want to shout out to Lee Workman and his team and all the leaders who put that together. It was phenomenal. The food was great. It was good stuff. So we're talking this morning, and I had originally planned. We have been marching through the fruit of the Spirit because, I mean, the good life is the life with God. It's the eternal kind of life. It's the life that we know we're going to taste in heaven with Jesus for all of eternity. Love and joy and peace, right? That's good stuff. I need more of that in my life, and I know you need more of it in yours. And so we're talking about how to cultivate more. Amen? When the farmer plants and he waters, what's he after? Growth, fruit, right? Something out of his labor. And so we're trying to cultivate a church. And here's how you cultivate a church. You cultivate individuals in the church. Amen? There's no love in here if there's not love in here. We can't just slap love on y'all. It's got to come out of you, right? And then when enough of us are walking in love, there's a culture of love. Y'all see that? Love, joy, peace. And so we've been taking our time. And I thought today, you know, love, joy, peace, those are the big ones, amen? You get those three, everything else kind of flows. And so I was going to hit three this morning. Patience, kindness, goodness. Just as I dig in this Bible, I can't do it. We're going to hit on patience this morning. How many of y'all have prayed for patience? Anybody? God bless you. It's like one of those prayers you pray once. I'm going to be honest. I do not feel equipped. I don't feel I'm in the place to speak on patience. My kids are here. My wife is sitting on the front row. She goes, "You're preaching on patience this morning?" I say, "Yeah." I look in her eyes and she goes, just the kind of relationship we have. patience, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, says this: the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, and other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude. Those are some words we need to bring back. From constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will. Isn't that good? That's what happens when the scriptures and the people of God engage the culture in every area of society. Folks writing dictionaries, praise the Lord, and leavening the dictionary with the word of God. Love that. Let that give you a vision for your calling, right? What has God called you to do? Can you leaven your career with the word of God? Now, impatience then, I'm going to take some liberties, is a reaction to the discomfort, pain, delay, affliction of circumstances and people in a way that puts our personal desires and our needs above the desires and needs or welfare of others. That's impatience. Now, I'm going to keep moving here. Here's my definition of patience. A little bit, not quite as big of words. Enduring discomfort, hardship, or pain without a negative reaction because of hope for a greater purpose. Because of hope for a greater purpose. Number one, patience begins with pain. Dude, when things are going good, praise the Lord. When my team is winning, I don't need patience. Everything's going great. When my marriage is just hitting that stride, no patience, just joy and happiness in life. When my kids do what I say when I say it, no patience needed, praise the Lord. Just excitement, just worship, right? Just fall to my knees and acknowledge the goodness of God, right? There's no patience needed unless there's pain. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Now, James here has a context. He says brothers can be translated brothers and sisters. He's talking to the people of God. But right before this, he's talking to the rich among you. And what he was saying is, there were people in their midst, not believers, not those walking with the Lord, but the powerful in the city were exploiting those who didn't have. Those who had were using their positions of power to not serve others, but to exploit them. And so James goes in, he says, look, you've been withholding wages from the laborers. They've worked. They've done their job and you're not paying them. You're living in luxury while others are suffering. And then finally, he's condemning them for murdering and pushing down the righteous. And then he turns to addressing the believing poor who've been economically exploited, who've been socially marginalized, who maybe have been spiritually weary. And he says, look, be patient. Be patient. Things aren't going your way. Things aren't happening the way you want them to happen or should happen, right? This is wrong. Be patient. And he asked them to lean in to realize that this is not the end. That this life It's not all there is. It's an interesting exhortation here by Paul. But he begins by saying, we begin by realizing that patience begins with pain. Now, we've all experienced painful moments. There are trivial painful moments, right? Momentary. I call these painful moments because they don't last long. Maybe, here's one of my pet peeves. I think about patience, I think about traffic. Anybody else? Perfect, yeah. I don't know what it is about a four-way stop. People don't understand how this works. My kids are tired of hearing it. I just hear myself talking. Brielle, I know I say this every time I come to this intersection, but this is how a four-way stop works. I'm educating her. You stop. There's four cars at the same time. Two cars go like this, and then two cars go like that. Two people get to move at the same time. Not here. No, not in Winterville. No, we all look at each other. Who should go first? And then somebody has to take a left. It's easy. Go here, and then like that. And this is helping me. I don't know if it's helping y'all. I'm educating everyone here. Now, y'all go tell your friends. Two at the same time, two at the same, and then you go left after this car goes. You move forward. There it is. And then praise God for the roundabout. I love a good roundabout. That's like, now if you, people know how to use it, but people will come out and yield, stop, waiting for deer, raccoon. Look, just go. But that's what I think about painful moments, traffic. Could be just the discomfort you feel when your parents don't know how to operate technology, young people. Y'all feel that? Look, when I was growing up, my father would have the remote. That was the thing. I don't know if y'all know that. I assume that's how things go, and I'll take the remote sometimes, and I'll get back talk. I'm like, I'm thinking, if I had said anything to my father when he had the remote, you know, I'm just like, son or daughter, whoever you are, this is my TV, praise the Lord, and this is my remote, and this is my house. And that's my phone. Give me my phone back. But I remember my dad would take up his remote and he would, you know, all right, dad, turn it to whatever. And God help us when things started moving to like three digits, you know. It was like one, three. And there was a time limit, you know. And then the time limit would pass. It was like, that's not enough. We'll go to 13 and then seven. And now the seven's up there. And now we got to start over. And that was, there's moments of discomfort. Or, parents, the long-term, and teachers and mentors, the long-term planning it takes to avoid the number six or seven in a sentence. And God forbid if those numbers come together. Right, we just, I said it the other day, six or eight, you know, just, or nine, you know, anything but to say that to you, we're, it's painful moments. Self-control, y'all, self-control. I was talking to a friend of mine, they were in a staff meeting and someone said, no, six or seven. And they were like, and they looked around. They'd been hanging out with high schoolers all week, so they were like, really? Nobody? Hold it in. Okay. But not only painful moments. I mean, those are easy. We recognize those. We're in the grocery store. We're in traffic. We're in whatever. We need to be patient. Okay. What about painful seasons? Maybe you're in a season of poor health. There's no clear end in sight. Maybe you're in a season navigating family difficulties. Child has wandered from the faith, or a parent has made a decision that is damaging the family. An adult child separates the grandchildren. That's real stuff. from grandparents. Your marriage is in a painful season, way longer than you thought it would be. An injury puts you behind schedule on some goals that you have. You find yourself in a season of singleness way too long. So you think, right? But then there are painful mysteries. And that's some of those things that James is hitting on. Guys, there's some systems at play here where you're not going to get the justice you're looking for in this life. Because he wrote this letter in probably about 60 AD, knowing that Jerusalem, he didn't know this, God knew this, Jerusalem was going down. The system itself would have to go all the way down. Be patient, because the justice you're looking for is not going to happen in this life. Not without everyone paying the price. Those in power and those not in power. And so we need to be careful. James is saying, be patient. Maybe you've lost a loved one. You might not get the answers you're looking for. You've gotten a terminal diagnosis. There are geopolitical landscape shifts that you might not ever get that dream you were hoping for. Out of your control. Mysteries that we won't know. A national tragedy or an international disaster. And here's the warning. Here's the application. Patience begins with pain. And here's James. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Here's the temptation. The temptation in our pain is to project. I mean, I'll be upset that we're not leaving on time, or someone can't drive in this city, and my kids will get the ire of my wrath. It ain't done anything. Right, that's the simple. So when we're in pain, we have a temptation to project. Maybe your team isn't winning. Can't be your fault. It's got to be a teammate's fault. Or the coach. Or the referees, right? That's in my mind. That's always just straight to referees. I got a witness over here. Pray for me, Jeff. Keep praying, brother, because I had a conversation this week, thought I did so good the first half. I did not do good the second half. Y'all, but the tendency is to project. Maybe it's got to be your boss's fault or a colleague. Maybe you are frustrated at the pace of how things are going in your life, so you project it on your parents. I don't have friends, and it's my parents' fault. Right? Or maybe it's things that aren't going your way you thought they should, in your family and dynamics, okay? Things aren't going well in the family, so let's blame the in-laws. Daughter, son, mother, father. Right? We're projecting because we're impatient, because we're experiencing pain. Is that just me? Second, not only does patience begin with pain, patience has a posture. Look at this. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth? This was interesting. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, right? You don't say, Beatty and I were talking about this week. You don't say, like, I'm gonna grow in patience. Patience come. Right? If we're charismatics, we talk to it. Patience in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of impatience. Right? That spirit of impatience is all over me. It can't be our character, right? It's gotta be an evil spirit. Now, I believe absolutely in the power of the darkness of the evil one and all his minions, right? But he usually tickles on our weaknesses, my experience anyway. And so fruit comes by being patient about it until it receives the early and the latter rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. He's again, he says, remember that there is an eternity. Remember that Jesus is coming back and he will make all things right. He will bring divine justice. As an example, verse 10, suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. And so Paul gives us two examples. He says the farmer and the prophets. First, the farmer. Farmers realize two things about patience. How many of y'all have moved here into Eastern North Carolina? Okay, what? Okay. So how many of you are from Eastern North Carolina? It's about half and half, maybe. Maybe less, maybe 40, 60, 37. Here's Eastern North Carolina is an agricultural history here. We're the coastal plains. And so we are walking through generations of farmer culture, which means, I don't know if you met farmers, two things about farmers. They ain't afraid to work. Ain't afraid of hard work at all. They gonna work. Here's the other thing you know about farmers. They ain't in a hurry. Ain't in a hurry. Now, there are moments of hurry, but they realize, look, you can work all day long. If the rain doesn't come, we ain't eating. Right? And so this is what's beautiful about patience. There's something for you to do while you're waiting. You've got to work. You've got to till the ground. You've got to plant the seed. You've got to tend the plant. Pull the weeds. But if it doesn't rain, praise the Lord, we ain't eating. God must do what God can do. And you got to do what you can do. And this is the posture of patience. You got to till your hearts through repentance, through quiet prayer and sensitivity to the Spirit. You got to plant the Word of God. If the word isn't planted, it can't bear fruit. It's got to be in your hearts. And I'm going to help. We say this a lot here. Sunday morning is not enough to plant the word. It's not enough. You got to weed and prune. You've got to realize that they're by default living in this world. You got things growing in your heart that you didn't plant or you did plant. You got to prune that too. You planted some stuff and you didn't plant some stuff, and both of us got to go if we're going to be fruitful. But only God can bring the rain. We need his presence. That's why we are leaning in here at GCF for the presence of God. Because good preaching and good music and a good experience isn't going to produce the life of God. God produces the life of God. We're going to set it up so that you can see God. That's our hope. Do we hit that every day? Of course. That's what we aspire to. We want God here. We want God here. Because I need God. And so do you. Patience isn't lazy. It's a posture. Patience embraces what I can't control. I can't control the rain. I can't control this person who doesn't know how to hit a four-way stop. I want to. I want to roll down my window and educate them as they drive by. That's what I want to do. And I may or may not have done that. But that's not patience. Right? Especially if you're from a big city, bro. You're like, does anybody know how to drive here? The answer is no. Be patient. Then James says, now look at the prophets. You see the farmers? Patience is embracing what I can't control. It's not doing nothing. It's walking by faith and hope that the rain will come. But now I've got to prepare for it. Amen. Now look at the prophets as an example of suffering and patience. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. This is what we know about the prophets. They were near God. They were close to God. They heard his voice. They were so close to God, and the words that were spoken were so connected with God that they could turn nations if nations would respond. They could be the spark to bring national revival. The prophets were powerful. Now, in the New Testament, we judge prophecy. Scripture tells us that. In the Old Testament, prophecy judges you. There's a shift. So in the Old Testament, the prophets were bringing the word of the Lord, and it judged you. You could respond and live or not respond and die. And so there's this intimacy with God. There's being the mouthpiece of God. It's powerful. But here's what's interesting about the prophets. Even though they were so close to God and were vessels for God, they would not see many times in their lifetime what they were seeing in the Spirit. That causes great pain. I think about Jeremiah, if y'all are familiar. He was coined the weeping prophet because he's always crying. Brother's crying all the time. And Jeremiah was reluctant. He didn't want to be a prophet. Who am I? And God said, I've chosen you. Get up. Go. I can't speak. You'll say it. It's like a fire burning inside of me. I'm weary of holding it in. And he began to speak. But here's what Jeremiah saw. Judah, you've sinned and you've refused to repent, and God will take you into exile. Don't listen to these other prophets. They are lying to you. This place is going down. But don't lose heart. In 70 years, God in his great sovereignty and his power will snatch you up out of your exile and bring you back to this place. And I will rebuild my temple and I will rebuild the people of Israel. What a prophecy. You know what it got him? Beatings. They threw him in a well. They put him in prison. And he got to see the beginnings. He got to see the judgment, but not the return. So this is what's interesting about patience. Sometimes you don't get to see the beauty of the return. Sometimes you don't get to see the fulfillment of the promise. Not in this life. There's a bigger picture. There's something else going on. And James says, look, think farmer, think prophet. You got to do your work. You got to believe God that he'll do his, and then sometimes you still don't get to see it. And that's what Hebrews 11 says. These men of faith were sawed in two for my name and never got to see the promise. But you do. You get to see the promise of their labor because you're in a legacy of what God's doing. See, we're in a culture we want to see beginning and end now. But you didn't see the beginning, and you will see the end. You're a part of the story God's telling. You got to play your part. And it's going to require patience. This is a multi-generational story. We were talking yesterday at the men's meeting about writing our own life plans and mission statements and values. And one of the things that kept, because I'm getting older, one of the things that kept kind of stirring is legacy. I'm not going to see the fulfillment of all that God wants to do in this house, in my life. But can I set up my kids and my kids' kids? Faith and patience. That brings us to number three. Patience has a purpose. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast or patiently enduring, you could say. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job and have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. See, here's the thing about Job. Y'all know, if you don't know the story of Job, Job was a big deal. He had a big family. He had lots of resources. He was doing great. And then God so chose that he would suffer. And the enemy was involved in this. And one day he lost everything he had and all his kids. One day. They left his wife so she could, like, prod him, I think. She told him, curse God and die. Lord, help me. Y'all read the story. It's complex. Great loss, pain, mischaracterization, false accusations, his friends. You had to do something. God wouldn't have done this if you hadn't done something. I'm thinking real hard. I can't think of anything. He lost it all. His health was spared only then to be reversed, and then he would go through great trials with his health. And then God, in his mercy and his kindness, he questioned God. He said, God, I haven't done anything wrong. You know, he starts talking, and it's such a beautiful story. God starts asking him questions. Isn't that funny? When you question God, God's like, I got some questions. I was like a father and a son. I'm like, you got questions? I got questions. Let me ask you some questions, praise the Lord. Where were you when I created the oceans and the mountains and the depths of the sea and put the spots on the leopard? Where were you? Oh, you weren't there. Because something bigger is going on. Right? See, there's purpose in your patience. Patience has purpose. It's got to have hope. It's not patience if it's not hope, right? It's just enduring. It's just you're enduring. But if there's patience, I'm believing for more. And so part of what gives us hope is that we see there's purpose here. And Job is a picture of that for us. I think about that young Hispanic kid moved to L.A., and this Okinawan man taught him karate. Y'all remember him? Brother was out there. Cobra Kai brought it back, praise the Lord. And that brother was out there just wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. Paint the house. Paint the house. Paint the fence. And I practice that every day. I practice it all. Back in the 80s, boy, I was out there and just, how'd that brother do that? Oh, sand the floor. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. And after a while, you're like, no! I ain't painting, I ain't sanding, I ain't waxing. I'm done. Oh, show me. You know. It's beautiful. I got chills all over my body. You know. It was all for a purpose, praise the Lord. See, if we know there's a purpose, we can be patient in the pain. See, God will use, God never wastes a pain. He doesn't waste it. You might say, well, that's unfair. There's pain I'm enduring that I can't imagine a purpose worthy. That's because you're in this life. You have sunk your inheritance in this life. And this is not the life. There is a life to come. There is an eternity with God that the pain. And here's the mystery part. I can't see it, God. But I trust that a God who would go to great pain for me is worthy to hold the mysteries of what I don't understand. And he's good because he would, at great cost to himself, endure for my good. So when I don't understand, I go there. There's purpose in the pain. What kind of purpose is your character? Consider it all joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of various times. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And love, right? The patience produces something in us. God's timing in their redemption. Look at this in 1 Timothy 1:16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example. His patience as an example for those who would believe in him. Paul saying, look, God was patient with me so that when you see my path, you'll believe he'll be patient with you. You've been killing folk who believe in Jesus? Well, I have, and he was patient for me. But I want you to think through that a little bit. God allowed that to happen. He was patient with Paul. And what did that patience cost the people of God? I can't imagine. But out of that was an example that the ends of the earth would hear the name of Christ. And that every sinner, no matter what they'd done, could see Paul's example and say, if God could love him, he can love me. A greater purpose. God's building a testimony, potentially. Mysteries, you might not get an answer. We don't like that. He might be keeping you from a greater evil. You ever thought about that? I got to be patient in this because there's a greater evil he's saving me from. Finally, how do we procure this patience? How do we obtain it? Titus 3. We have that up there. For we ourselves were once foolish. Anybody been foolish in here? Disobedient. Led astray. Slaves of various passions, pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. So this is your salvation, and I want to help us. I know some of us know this, but I don't think we know it. You are saved under zero conditions of your own bringing. It's not because you had good parents that you ain't saved because you had good parents. I had great parents. Great parents. I'm not saved because of that. You're not saved because you have a certain cultural background or ethnicity. Because he's going to take some from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You're not saved because you're smarter than everybody in the room. Because he has saved things for the foolish, not the wise. We are saved because we've brought nothing, and of his great mercy he procured us. He purchased us for himself. Why? According to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, by his grace, by his grace, by his grace alone, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. We procure patience because we've seen the patience of God towards us. And when we're impatient, we've lost sight of his patience toward us. See, patience is a fruit. And impatience is a fruit of you knowing what he's done for you. When we're impatient in the moment and in our season, we've lost sight of his patience towards us. And his goodness and his loving kindness of our Savior who gave all so that we might be saved. Do you show contempt, Romans 2:4, for the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? He's given you time. You're not dead yet, praise the Lord. You got time. And he's given it to you. He's patient with you. Why? Why would he be patient for you? So that you would repent and come home. He loves you that much. And sometimes his patience towards you causes pain for others. I know when I said that example earlier, how could he allow Paul to do those horrible things? What have you done? He's given you patience. And his patience towards you has cost many people pain. But here's what's beautiful. At the coming of the Lord, he will make all things right. He will exact judgment. He will bring his justice and his love. And it personified on the cross. He poured out his justice and his love on the cross of Christ so that we might understand that God is serious about sin and his love runs deep. And he won't stop until he has us. He's patient with you. He's patient with you. He's patient with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your patience means salvation. 2 Peter tells us that. Bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation. There's some of us in this room that God's been patient with you, and you know it. And you have not turned back. You've not disclosed. You've not brought your sin to light in the gospel and said, I don't want to live this way anymore, Lord. I know it's wrong. I know I've sinned against you. I know I have set my face like flint to go against you. And I want to receive your patience towards me, your love, your redemption, your forgiveness. If that's you here this morning, you know I am. God's being patient with me, and I'm ready to surrender my life to him. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it high. This is the day. This is the day. Amen. 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 Father, you see these hands. You can put them down. Just in a posture of surrender, say, Jesus, forgive me for my rebellion and my selfishness and putting my needs above the needs of others and above your law. Forgive me for being my own God and being my own Lord. I want to surrender my life to you today, my King and my God. I need your help, Holy Spirit. Fill me with you. Fill me with your Spirit. Change me. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer this morning, my encouragement to you is find a friend who follows Jesus and tell them what you did today. And ask for them to pray for you, because here's the reality. This has never been meant to walk alone. You got to walk with Jesus. You got to walk in community. And finally, there's some of us in here who saying, Blake, I am in a season. I don't understand the purpose. I am in immense pain. And I want to believe, but I'm not sure I do. I need you to pray for me. Every head bow your heads in here, because this is a holy moment. Blake, I am confused and in pain, and I don't know the purpose, and I don't know if I trust God right now. But I want you to pray for me. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you as well. What's beautiful about this is the enemy's going to tell you you're the only one, and there are hands all over this audience. And you know what? God's not scared. He's not hurt. He already knows. You know why? Because he's patient with you. I just want to say that over you this morning. God's patient with you. He's patient with your questions. He's patient with your anger. He's patient with your confusion. He's patient with your accusation. He's patient with your rebellion. He is patient with you, slow to anger and abounding in love to a thousand generations. So, Lord, we just pray right now for every one of us, Lord, who's in that season, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, we lay it at your feet. Lord, I pray that everyone with their hand would take time to spend with you, the living one, the patient one, the agape of God, the lover of our souls. And that you would heal us. You would meet us where we are. What we need to know, you'll reveal. What we don't need to know or may never know, Lord, that they would trust you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Let's stand to our feet as we close. Thank you so much for being with us here at GCF Church. If you're a college student, don't forget there's some food for you. I have a feeling it's got some Italian roots to it. If you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you. Our altar workers are going to be up here. If you have any questions, we'll be up here as well. Thank you for being with us this morning. Don't forget to sign up to help at Fall Feast, November 16th. Not next Sunday, not the next Sunday, but the Sunday after. We need help, and we'd love for you to bring someone. We're going to have a great time, lots of food. If you remember last year, more lines, more food, more fun. Amen. We'll see you next week.